Scott, thanks for joining me on the Measurement Minute. We're going to talk attribution today. It's a fascinating analytics problem. I used to work a lot in the attribution space, and I don't think I ever tackled a harder problem. It was something that I felt like I failed with a lot of our clients, despite them spending a lot of money and trying hard to do it well. And I think it's still a really challenging, albeit a really important problem in marketing in general. So love to get into it with you a little bit. Why don't you give a quick introduction to yourself and what you do, and then we'll talk a little bit about why attribution is so hard.
Yeah, great. Well, thanks for having me on. I'm really happy to be here. Well, I spent my career as a performance marketer, and I worked at a lot of independent agencies, local, regional, national. And, you know, I was frustrated by the lack of marketing analytics tools. There seems to be this false choice where you either are using free answers out of platforms like an ad server, or the next step up has been historically multi-touch attribution and media mix models. So I was really frustrated that I couldn't have advanced analytics for my clients. And so I really started to dissect, you know, what are the things that are most interesting and applicable from the attribution tools, and why is attribution so hard and so expensive? And so that was really the start of Mint Measure. And, you know, we pride ourselves on being a measurement company, not an attribution company. Do we think that there's, you know, some bad connotations that come with attribution? As you talked about, it's a really hard problem.
Anything that people have failed on for a long time sometimes gets a bad odor about it, whether it deserves it or not. I mean, I think it is a really important problem, and I think people have made a lot of really good faith efforts to tackle it. It's just hard to solve. And maybe let's talk about that a little bit. What makes attribution a particularly difficult problem for people to solve?
Yeah, so there's really two big barriers for attribution. Historically, cost has been the number one challenge. If you're one of these mid-sized advertisers who's spending $5, $10, $20 million a year, to invest $1 million plus in these enterprise analytics solutions is really tough on your bottom line. Trying to squeeze out an ROI or a value on that has been really tough. Let's suppose that cost isn't a barrier for a particular brand or an agency. In that case, the biggest challenges that marketers face are the lack of staff to be able to interpret the data and connect it to business metrics. And so as we talk to clients, they typically say, yeah, you know, I would love to do some better analytics. I would love to be able to get smarter with my investment, but I can't afford the attribution solutions. And, well, I guess I don't really have any other choice. And so, you know, we are trying to do some education in the marketplace about the differences between a well thought out measurement program and the legacy attribution. And so we really try to meet marketers where they have those challenges, first on being a reasonably priced and accessible platform, but also making effective analytics easy for clients by providing them the expertise that they're missing.
The idea being, I guess, that there's a middle ground between a really expensive media mix and multi-touch attribution system and not doing anything at all to optimize your campaigns.
Right, exactly. And so Mint aims to be that middle layer. We aim to deliver 70% of the value of an MTA at 20% of the cost.
Definitely a need for that. You guys talk a lot about sort of the difference between a deterministic and a probabilistic methodology, which I thought was kind of interesting. Can you elaborate on that a little bit? Talk to me about how you guys have approached attribution or this problem of getting that middle ground of marketing optimization.
Yeah, so all advanced attribution, whether that's through an MTA or a media mix model, use a cross-device graph as the backbone for that measurement. And so all of those use a modeled cross-device graph, and so does Mint Measure. We actually use TapAd to power our device graph. So, you know, at that point, that's really where Mint Measure differentiates from the legacy tools. The legacy providers, they'll begin to incorporate different external elements. So this could be media channels like print or outdoor where it's not easily measurable. They could be accounting for things like weather and seasonality. And so all of those different factors go into this black box model and this magic formula that they have. And it gives them then their proprietary answer. Mint Measure has taken a different approach in that instead of trying to account for all of these plethora of factors, we're going to focus on the channels and tactics that are directly measurable. And we think that there's a ton of performance to be able to pull out and improve the effectiveness of marketing spend by focusing just on that component instead of trying to solve for every possible answer.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And what that says is you're not going to tackle billboards for somebody. But on the other hand, if they just want to optimize their performance marketing, their digital plays, their digital marketing, there may be better ways to do it, or at least ways that are less expensive and maybe a little more pointed than media mix modeling.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are certain things like billboards or a print magazine that you're going to buy because that's the right place for the brand to be. There's some third-party research out there that shows that this is where your audience is. And you're not necessarily trying to optimize which billboard you're going to buy, or should you be buying a left-hand read or a right-hand read in a newspaper. And so we want to focus on the things that are a little bit more actionable and that we can begin to affect in flight.
Makes sense. So part of what you guys talk about is incrementality and measuring incrementality. How does that play into that methodology? So you're just focusing on the stuff that you consider to be measurable, that you can do performance marketing on it. Where does the concept of incrementality come in?
Great question. So I want to differentiate real quick that we're talking about incrementality within your media mix, not incrementality through the lens of marketing spend versus no marketing spend.
That's important.
Yes, very important. So at the core of our philosophy is that everything that you're buying in advertising should be adding value. And there's a couple different ways that value can be pulled out. First is you believe that that's the right place for the brand to be. This could be your outdoor, your print. It could be that you're buying a site direct because you want to leverage that placement and the equity of that brand. Aside from that, performance improvements come in two forms. The first is to improve the conversion rate of the user base that you're currently reaching, or a media tactic or channel should reach a net new audience. So MintMeasure is not going to focus on those belief type placements. We're going to focus on improving conversion rate or reaching net new audiences. And so we look at the delivered campaign and then begin to parse out the users that were exposed to a single channel or multiple channels. Within that, we look at what is the contribution or the effectiveness of any given channel. And it should either improve the conversion rate of the user, or it should reach a net new audience. And so it's through this lens that we begin to look at performance for a campaign and then apply the analytics to optimize the campaign.
That makes a lot of sense. And I thought reading through what you guys do, some of the metrics you guys talk about that I thought were really fascinating is this concept of like unique reach and exclusive unique reach, which I think plays exactly into that. Can you explain that a little bit?
All of the users that a specific ad buy is going to reach, there will be a portion of that base that is reached by other platforms or channels, and then there will be a subset that is exclusive to that vendor or platform. So when we talk about incrementality, we're often talking about this exclusive unique reach. What is the exclusive or incremental contribution of every vendor or platform? And then when we look at the shared audiences, that's where we're going to focus on improving conversion. So a good example of this is if I'm running video and display, there's going to be a subset of my users who saw my video but were not reached by my display campaign. And so we want to look at what is that reach, and then how do we then optimize display and video together to improve that conversion rate or to reach a net new audience. And so our cost of unique reach is our best indicator for where incremental reach can be found on that campaign. And then this also translates down funnel to acquisition metrics. And so we have a cost of a unique acquisition, or a UCPA metric. And this then is able to help judge, if I have an incremental budget to allocate, where will I be able to get the most bang for my buck and drive those down funnel metrics.
Makes a lot of sense. Anything else from an attribution methodology standpoint you want to touch on? And then we'll talk maybe a little bit about what companies have to do to tackle the problem, more from a the blocking and tackling perspective, not the methodology perspective.
Yeah. So one thing I did want to talk about is the right data altitude. So data altitude means that when you're trying to make a decision, you're going to need to look at the right type of data, whether that's granular data or meta-level analysis, in order to be able to make effective choices and good choices. And so most multi-touch attribution solutions focus on the macro metrics. So what is, for example, the role of every channel in the path to conversion, or what is the channel mix that's most effective? And those are certainly really key learnings that as you begin to plan year over year, will have big impacts on how you allocate your budget. One of the challenges that we found with those high-level metrics is they often leave a lot to be desired in the short term, meaning that they're not directly applicable or there's not actionable steps to be taken. And so we also focus on the micro metrics. And so our proprietary cost of unique reach and cost of a conversion are part of that. But we also look at things like audience overlap and channel mix delivery. We look at these micro metrics in order to be able to enact change on either a biweekly or a monthly basis. And underlying this is the exponential growth and compound effect of the optimization. So if we're able to enact, let's suppose on a very conservative example, 1% or 2% performance improvement every month, over the course of 6 to 12 months with an advertiser, they're going to see dramatic improvements throughout the year. So we focus on these micro metrics in the short term, and then the macro metrics as we go into strategic planning with our clients and budget allocation conversations.
I think that's really important. And two things I guess I'd say about that. Going back to what I expressed earlier about some of the challenges I personally had with attribution, I think oftentimes we had a hard time getting it right. But even when we got it right, I think oftentimes the kind of conclusions we came up with were ones that were politically unpalatable within the organization. And I think those big strategic changes, you know, stop doing this kind of marketing, those are hard things for an organization to do. Whereas if you can come up with those micro improvements, where you can target to a group and say, don't get rid of your budget, because everybody hates getting rid of their budget. Just spend it a little differently or do this campaign a little bit differently. That's a lot more palatable. And sometimes I think what metrics people forget is that when you do analytics, it has to be in ways that not only could drive change in the organization, but that will drive change in the organization. The organization is willing to do things about. I have found sometimes with big scale attribution analysis that even when it's done really well, no one wants to swallow the political consequences of stop doing some kinds of buying.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And there's a lot of, you know, almost shock when you see some of these attribution reports and media models where, you know, you'll have allocated, let's suppose, 5% of your budget to some print, and you get the results back that say, wow, you should allocate 25-30% of your budget to print, or, you know, whichever tactic it happens to be. And so sometimes these insights or changes that are coming recommended are such a dramatic change from what has been done historically that there are those political headwinds. And so by making optimizations in flight, you can begin to test this hypothesis of we think that tactic X is, you know, effective, or the data shows that if we do X, Y, and Z optimization, that we'll gain efficiency. And so instead of making a wholesale change to reallocate massive parts of your budget, you're making incremental changes to allocate just a few percentage points more and see those results. And so that evaluate and optimize portion of our process is really important, because if we do make a change and it doesn't do what we expected, we want to be able to either undo or go back and re-diagnose that. So we're not making these big bets, reallocating either 10, 20, 30% of our budget at a time, but making these smaller bets, and as those begin to show results, then that gives senior leadership the confidence they need to be able to then back up some of these larger, more macro insights.
Cool. Yeah, incremental is always easier. Maybe that's a good sort of transition into the next to last topic, which is that sort of blocking and tackling. You guys described yourselves as more of a measurement company, or a measurement company, not just an attribution company. Obviously, there's a lot of blocking and tackling that has to go into creating a measurement framework to solving this kind of problem and solving it throughout every step of the organization. Talk to me a little bit about just how you guys approach it when you work with a company, and how does that usually look?
Yeah, so part of the service that we offer is we will give you the measurement approach or the measurement strategy and framework as just part of our, you know, day-to-day doing business. And so that typically begins with a client briefing us in. We'll get a look at media plans, historical data, et cetera. and then we'll help craft a strategy and approach for where to focus first, what are the things that we need to learn, and then set that roadmap. Some of our clients are a little bit more self-sufficient, whether that's with a team of analysts, and so they have that those measurement capabilities themselves. But we found that because most advertisers lack that talent or staff to interpret the data, but they also need help on that initial setup. So once we work with the client to get alignment on that approach, we'll launch the campaign. And then throughout the program, Mint Measure does the heavy lifting in terms of analysis and insights. So we meet with our clients every 2 to 4 weeks, depending on their needs, and then work with them on what are the performance improvements that we need to make. So that then falls into the process and the metrics that we just talked about. And so, you know, there are some, you know, typical things that in the first 2 to 3 months, we're going to tend to focus, you know, reach and frequency and making sure that users are seeing ads across channels. Once that has been dialed in, then we typically start moving on to things like audiences and audience overlap. And then from there, depending on the client's needs, we'll kind of take a path that's a little bit more in line with their specific campaign.
Cool. Scott, one last thing, I guess. You know, when we talked earlier, one thing that really interested me was the potential for this kind of approach, not just to be applied to performance marketing, but to brand marketing as well. And, you know, you talked a little bit about how those are very separate things in the way organizations think about them. And I know it's not your guys' primary focus, but it strikes me that a lot of the same methods and some of the same metrics, things like unique reach and exclusive unique reach, and even if you map acquisition into awareness, that kind of metric approach could apply very well to brand advertising. And I'd love to get your thoughts just a little bit about, can this apply to brand? Have you guys done this? And what would be your thought about trying to bring that kind of measurability to brand advertising, not just performance marketing?
Yeah, so I actually get really excited about this. And so keep in mind, I'm a performance marketer by trade. And until my last agency job, not that I thought that brand advertising was bullshit, but kind of.
We all kind of go there a little bit, right? I mean,
yeah. So, you know, as I was building Mint Measure, I thought to myself, okay, how do I create a process and a methodology that I can believe in the effectiveness of brand? And so to your point, a lot of these metrics really do begin to apply to the upper funnel media as well. So part of what we do is we look at the funnel in two parts, everything that happens before a site visit and after a site visit. You know, in a broad sense, you could call that above and below the line or brand and performance. And so, you know, we're currently building out our viewability capabilities. And so we do envision a world in which we're looking at viewable reach and viewable frequency on the brand side. And then for a performance campaign, looking more at the, you know, cost of the unique conversion and those types of metrics. Every channel has a slightly different role, so we want to make sure that we're grading that channel against the metrics and KPIs that make the most sense. But, you know, being able to unify brand and performance campaigns is a really big question that most brands have. And especially as they begin to foray and spend more in brand marketing, being able to tie that back to business results is really important. So, you know, we talked about that we're a measurement company and not an attribution company. I think this is a good example of how measurement really differs from attribution. You know, an attribution platform would tell you, this is the impact of brand, you know, broadly speaking, or this is how your brand influenced your performance marketing. And that certainly is one element of that. But brand value, as created by these brand campaigns, can also take a lot of different forms. So we want to look at what is the whole picture of brand marketing and then how do we measure that. So that might include things like a brand lift study, so either just awareness or consideration. We might look at net new or incremental site traffic that's being driven by a brand and performance campaign, and then find ways to connect and pass these brand exposed audiences over to the performance side of the house. So one of our clients, BJ's Wholesale Club, we're actually expanding across 3 different agencies. They have 2 performance agencies, one for search and social, and then another agency that's doing brand spend. So for them to be able to get a unified view across what has historically been really siloed programs is really important. And there's these different elements of what is the complete impact of this brand spend.
That's awesome. Scott, it's been great chatting with you, great hearing about this. what's the best way for people to reach out to you if they want to talk to you more about what Mint does?
Yeah, find us on LinkedIn or visit our website at mintmeasure.com. You're always welcome to email me, scott@mintmeasure, and we'd love to have a conversation.
Sounds great. Scott, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks. We'll talk soon, Gary.